Our glory. And you know what his glory is? His character. You are his character manifested today. That's what I want. I want his character. Jesus says, you know, he came, he was the Logos, but then the Bible says that we saw him in his all his glory, his character, the character of God. Amen. Let me not take too much time here talking. It is glad to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you, musicians. This is the only place that I'd rather be today. In the house of the Lord. David said, you know, I am glad. Are you glad this morning? Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Okay, inform your faces that you are happy in the house of the Lord. Because some of you look sad. That's where you came, right? Listen, my friend, there's no happiness out there. That's what I like here, because things change when we are in his presence. Here we deal with the things of life, and we get all frustrated, and we get all bent out of shape. But you don't have to do that here. What do you let go and let God and be happy? Because that's what you came, to be happy. Forget about the problems. Forget about the situations. Let God have his way. Amen. Amen. That's why you came. Leave your mind out there and just come and pick up the mind of Christ that is in you. Amen. I'd like to continue with my subject on Wednesday, Why Cry? Speak. And the reason I want to do this is because, you know, sometimes Andy and I don't get the opportunity to do what Brother Doug do. He do part one, part two, part 30, part 100. We come to the pulpit, we have to say what we have to say, and that's it, done. So if there's some things that I like to expand on, I can, because it takes too much time. And when we study so much, there's many things, many tangents that I like to go through. Maybe they are similar, maybe they don't have to do directly with the message, but there are things that can help. So, but we cannot do that, because every time we do that, then the service gets longer and longer. But I got a chance now to expand on a little bit more of what we brought on Wednesday. So, no problem if you wasn't here Wednesday, that's okay. Because these messages usually stands alone, see? So you can get something out of it. But if you have a chance, listen at Wednesday message. Not because, you know, I'm special, it was that good. I mean, just because it was spoken over this pulpit, see? And everything that is spoken over this pulpit is supposed to bring you hope. It's supposed to bring you encouragement. It's supposed to lift you up. Okay? And that's the only reason that I like to help you. So, before I get going, let me review right quick. Not much. But can you help me with this, Brother Jonathan? Joshua? Joshua, chapter 10, and let's start with 12 verse, because I didn't write it on my notes. Then spoke Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Canaanites, they were all against Joshua. Why? Because they were afraid of Joshua. He was a threat to their lifestyle. See, he has conquered Gibeon. But now, you know, they're afraid. These kings, five of these kings got together and says, you know, we need to go after this guy. We don't need him to come and take more. You're ready to cover the south part of the promised land.
So they wanted to go and destroy him, stop him right away. That's what Satan wants to do with you. Every time you come to church, every time you have a revival, every time you take another step forward, he's not going to leave you there. You think he's going to say, oh, well, I lost him. Oh, man. No, he's going to come back because he says, you know, I cannot let you go too far. See, that's far enough. The more you come and the more you understand who you are, he don't want you to know who you are and what you are. So that's why you have the problems after you have a nice revival. Then you go out there to the home and all hell breaks loose. Why? He don't want you to be in that kind of an atmosphere. So he tried to destroy you. He tried to detour you. You know, so you start worrying about something else and not about the good time that you had in church. He says, deliver the Amorite before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, son, stand still. See, he needed to do something. He knew he was not going to win that war unless he had more time. It was the afternoon. The sun was going down. And he said, if you said to this mountain, be moved, and you can believe in your heart, it will move. I don't care what mountain it is, circumstances, situation, cancer, diseases. I don't care. COVID, just speak to that mountain. He said, in the sight of Israel, see the sun stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon and the valley of Ahalon. Then the next one, 13. And the sun stood still. Well, I'm not surprised. That man was on a mission. That man was commissioned. And God was behind him. He is the God that fight our battles. All we had to do, we just said what he says. And he's on him, not on you. He says, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemy, they kill all the kings. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven. And let's not go on the many theories, how that happened. I myself don't understand. And he hasted, I only tell you what the Bible says. And they hasted not to go down about the whole day. 14. And there was no day like this day, today. I'm talking about today. You cannot leave that in Joshua. You cannot leave that in the Old Testament. That is just as good as today, tomorrow, and forever. Jesus is the same. You cannot say, well, he did that over there, but he cannot do it here. Who's limiting God's hands? Who can limit God's hands? Therefore, and after that, the Lord hearkened into the voice of a man. A man spoke. He said, and God moved. Wow. Can you move God tonight, this morning? Of course. This is just a man just like me and you. Same infirmity, the same problem. You know, just like you. We would like to make these guys superheroes. The only superhero was God in him. Amen. Hearken unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Amen. It wasn't Joshua, but it was God. Right. And Joshua knew that. And Joshua knew that God cannot lie. And Joshua was promised, don't be afraid, don't dismay. I have given you this land. Go and take it and everything in it. And then divide it. See, he had a word from the Lord. So he didn't have to, oh, woe's me, what I'm going to do now? Lord, you brought me this far. Now this is, I mean, like Moses, you know, cry. You know, we don't need to cry. You know what God wants. You know what he promised you. All you have to do is voice that in heaven, in the sinners in earth. Okay, that's all. That's what Joshua did. So, one more scripture before we sit down. Oh, let's pray, then we can finish the scripture. Father, we thank you once again. We ask you, Father, to take us a little bit higher today. Father, take us a little bit closer. Father, take us a little bit more mature. Father, give us what we have need. We know you will, Father. We ask you blessings upon this service, upon the word, upon those that are here, Father. Those that are listening, Father, bless them. Richly, Father, tonight, this morning, talk to their hearts. Father, not only talk, but may that word come to be flesh.
Because that is your purpose this morning. Father, I will stand here, but I will put myself aside. Father, you can use this vessel. Whatever is left over, whatever is in me, Father, you can have it. It is all yours. I surrender this morning to you. Speak to your people in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, it come to pass in a certain day, Luke 8:22-25, it says that he went into the ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. Now, it was spoken already. Let us go. Yeah. Not let us try, or maybe we can make it. No, right. Let us go. The word has been spoken by Jesus. And they launched forth, but as they sailed to fall, he fell asleep, Jesus. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. See, the word says, move forward. And Satan says, no, you don't. So who's going to win? I know who's going to win. I don't care. You are the answer to his challenge. He wants to stop you. God says, move. And Satan said, no, you won't. But I don't care what Satan, I'm not paying attention to him. You know? I want to know what God says. That's the report I want to believe. Because Satan is a liar. And nothing he can say, if he's moving his sleep, it will be true. It's lies. So why wasting my time to listen to Satan? He don't have nothing good for me. He never did. And he never will. Have anything for me that is anything good so I can move forward. In fact, it wants to take a step backward. I ain't going back. I'm not going back. He says, and they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he aroused and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was calm. See, Jesus knew what he's dealing with. He didn't got all worried and all afraid. And let me calm these boys down. Let me see, you know, they're anxious, they're nervous, they think they're going to die. We don't have time for that. That's the devil. That's the language of the devil. Jesus said, let me address what I need to address is, I said, let us go. And that's where we're going. Satan, I'm going forward, and that's where I'm going. He says, and there's nothing can hold that. He says, and he said unto them, where is your faith? Just like Joshua, where was his faith? In the word. And we talked about a few more things that we're going to talk this morning. Faith by itself won't do it. I mean, faith is the result of some of the things. Because you cannot sit and say, well, I got faith. Well, but if the motives are not right, if your reasons are not right, see, okay, I want you to pray for me. I'm sick. I want to be healed. Say, and what you want to do when you get healed? Don't come to church. Don't serve the Lord. That's not the right motive. I don't say that God can will heal you. I don't know. He might. But there has to be the right motive, the right intention, the right interest. You know, and all that together brings faith. Faith drops in your heart. See? Because you have the right intentions. But, you know, some people want prayer for what? To continue the kind of life that they are to begin with. I want to see them healed. Don't get me wrong. If they can't believe, they can't be healed. What they do, that's not all mine. My thing is to help. Even if I don't agree with certain things, but my thing is to help them. So I'm not saying I'm not going to help you because you're not a Christian. No. That's not up to me to decide. If God, amen. Jesus, he was in flesh. He helped everybody. He didn't ask him, are you Christian or not? But if you don't believe me, I cannot help you. No. The reason they came to him is because they believed him. Maybe they didn't believe the whole message that we have today. Maybe that person will never believe the message, but he will believe it, or she will believe in God, that God is a healer. What happened after that? Are we just praying and hoping that the Lord will finish that work that he started? He said, I said unto them, where is your faith? And then being afraid
Well, see, that's what Satan brings. Fear would paralyze you completely. It stopped you right in your track. Having a good revival, and I want to hear, where's Satan? I'm on that guy. But see, he has a surprise for you too. And that's why you're going to show your faith. It says, where are your faith? And they being afraid, saying to one another, what manner of a man is this? For the commanded even the winds and the water to obey him. See, that's the question we need to I put forward to you. Where is your faith this morning? You need to answer that question. Because we have the power. We have the Holy Ghost. And we have the power to believe the word of God. Not only believe, but believe that he will do that he spoke, it will happen. But we don't exercise. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. This is what I'm putting forward. Make you think. Are we exercising the faith that is already in you? We come to church, I want more faith. Glory, increase my faith. Well, start working with what you got. God will not give you no more until you handle that little bit. For little bit I push you, you know. Faith for servant, and I will give you what? But you cannot get more unless you take care of that little bit. More faith to do what? If you have faith like a little mustard seed, have you seen mustard seed? It's just like a little knot, you know, small little, well, has a K on it, K knot. I don't know what they don't pronounce the K. But anyway, what do they put it there if they don't use it? You know, what a waste of letter. K knot. K knife. What a waste of letter. Don't even pronounce it. English is so crazy. Anyway, so that faith. That little faith that you have right now is sufficient. It says if you have a faith like a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move. You don't need more faith. You already have faith. You need to exercise what you got. You want more? Exercise what you got. Brother Brown says, also, but before I go there, Jesus said in Matthew 8:26, I don't have it here, it says, you have little faith, he says. Why? Because they could not see, you know, what grace has done for them. See? And then many today are looking for more faith, like I said. But they are not using what God already had given them. And it is possible. It is possible that we hide. You know, God gave us gift. Faith is a gift also. But sometimes we hide them. Why do we hide them? Just like Gideon, man of valor. He was hiding. And sometimes that's what we do. We hide. When the persecution comes, when the trouble comes, when everything comes, when the storm comes, instead of standing there and speak to the storm or speak to your problem, your situation, we cry out. Because we're hiding. Hiding our faith is what we're hiding. We're doubting. Can we do that? Sure, you can do what Joshua did. That's not for him only. That was for today, Brother Brown says. He says over here, Brother Brown says in paradox, but that takes motive and objectives. Faith takes motive and objectives to move and stop the sun. You have to have the right reason, the right interest, the right motive, the right intentions, he says. Of course, you got to have a reason or you cannot have faith. He says, I read that Wednesday, but I'm going through this. Faith, because if I would have left it there, you know, then you will not probably see the whole picture. You see faith and then you know what faith is and that's it. Well, I need to know that you understand what the Bible says about faith. See? So faith only you have got, you got some reason. Reason is why are you justifying your actions? You want to be healed? Why? Why you justify your action? Because the word says, because God said, why do you want a good job? Why do you want a car if you don't have one? What is the justification, the reason that you want all these things? So you can come to church. So you can work and you pay your tithings, or so you can have fun. See? What is the reason that you want to have that faith? It has to be justified only, and God is the only one can justify you. If we try to justify ourselves, that becomes a disadvantage, that becomes a dishonor to God's word. And God, anyway, God will not honor something that is not but his word. So it's a disadvantage. And you might get what you want, and you think it's a blessing, and you suddenly, it becomes a curse. That's why you need to pray for your husband, your wife. You know, when you want a husband or a wife, you need to pray when you want a job. You need to pray when you want a church. Because if you choose this because, and you choose a guy because he's, you know, tall, dark and handsome and slick hair and big feet, you might start. It won't go too far, I promise you. And if you go far, you have problems. You will have problems. Because you didn't pray about it. And if you did, you justify it. You ask God, but you already had in your mind what you wanted. That don't work. You don't go to God and say, I want this, unless it's being justified. And it's been lined up with the word of God. The right motive, the right intentions, the right reasons. It says, reason. As I tried to say last night, some people's faith is in the textbooks. And some people's faith is on something else, but depends on where your faith is. Where is your faith this morning? And he says, but depends where your faith is. I want to believe God's word. What he says is true. Then I have got to see if he will, if it's his will or not. So it has to line up. Your motive, your intention, your reason, and your faith comes in and has to line up. Of course, God wants to give me a good wife. Of course, God wants to give me a wife that is full with the Holy Ghost. Okay, does that line up with the Bible? Yes. Don't get married. Don't unjoke yourself with this belief. So see, if you find a girl and she don't have the Holy Ghost, then strike against you. See? Why? Because that don't line up with the Bible. Find out if what you want and your faith line up with that. Oh, well, I bring it to church, and then when she get the Holy Ghost, you justify yourself. That's what you want to do, and that's what you want to justify. But if I bring it to church and she receives the Holy Ghost, then what happens is he leave you and marry somebody else. Because her eyes were open and you're not the right guy. No, that has happened in this message. Kids will bring someone that they like and come and they receive the Holy Ghost and they start going, moving forward, but you don't see the boy anymore. And then she marries somebody else. It has happened. So I'm not joking with that, but it does sound funny. So he said, we've got to check out my objectives to it, and then my motive is doing it. See? So, that's just like having three lights. My motives are right, my intentions are right, my reason is right. Then faith has to drop in there because you all line up. Amen. Hebrew, and I told you what faith was. Now, faith is a substance, see? It's an assurance that what you're asking, you can have it. But if it's already justified by the word of God, that's what faith is already. It's a confirmation. Faith dropped in your heart is a confirmation that what you are asking, you can have it. It's a confirmation. It says it is a title deed. You know, this is yours. It belongs to you, and you can have it. See, this all things hope for. What is hoping? That is a proof of the thing that you want. See, sometimes we hope for things. See, hope is nothing bad because the Bible speaks about hope. But hope is what the proof of the things you want. You know, faith looks yonder. Faith looks at there where there's nothing. Faith will reach where you're hoping for that thing. You want healing, whatever you want. See, but faith will go to that. That is not seen by your mind, it's not seen by no one, but something in your heart says, yes, I believe it, and it's mine, and it's settled. And the more you believe, and the more you faith grows, and the more your faith comes to you, the more you can even taste it. I'm going to show you in a minute what Brother Brown says. You can almost taste it. You know, when my wife is baking the cinnamons, I kind of smell them. And I start imagining, see? And I say, man, a cup of coffee now with a cinnamon. And then I smell them. Then she brings them out and I start touching. Listen, I already saw it. I already smelled them. I already touched them. It is a reality. And the word of God has to become a reality to you. This is not, I come to church to see what happened. No, God is real. His word is real. And if you can perceive, faith perceive that, you can reach out there and pull it out. That's what hope do for you. It says, it's the evidence of things not seen. See? Faith, perceiving the real thing. You know, sometimes, have you been in the situation that you want something so bad that you dream about it? That you speak about it? I mean, and suddenly it becomes so real that you think you have envisioned. Oh, I saw it. It's right there. No, you know. It's so real to you that you can almost touch it. It becomes almost from the intangible to the tangible. You can reach and you can almost feel you can touch it. That's what faith will do for you. See, when faith drops in your heart, it is done. You need to perceive it. That it is done. It is real. It will happen. This is what Brother Mark said before I go too far. Oh, yeah. Oh, you say. That was for a long time. He's talking about Joshua. That was for yesterday. That is today. It's for today, he says, and forever. The same God. Jesus said in Mark 11:12, if you said to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you have says will come to pass. You can have what you said. Joshua had what he said. He says, that's divine nature. And we know that. But you have to have a motive and you have to have an objective to that that's connected with it. Find out in the world if it is supposed to be done. Okay. And then God is calling you to do it. Not because you perceive something that you want to do. You need to find out if that's what God wants you to do. Maybe somebody else. It's for somebody else. You know, sometimes if you come to God with a concern, you have a concern that this brother, if he don't stop what he's doing, he's going to end up too far. So you have a concern. I don't want my brother to go through that. I've been there, and I want him to have to experience this stuff. But if he continues, but that's a concern. But Brother Matt said, you get down to pray. And when you get a word from the Lord that he called you to talk to that brother or that sister, that's changed everything. But don't go out with a concern. Get to pray because who know? We don't know what happened. You pray and God will send somebody else. Not you. You don't know what God is had in his mind. But that's all right. You pray. That God has his way. That God has his will. But pray. Not because you pray and you say, "Boy, I should be the one." No. You don't have to be the one. See, that's the wrong motive. The motive will be, Lord, I don't care who you send. Amen. Send somebody after my brother. Amen. But if he send you, you're clear. You know, when God send you, God will give you the right words to send. That's why he told the disciple, don't worry about it, don't rehearse, don't think about it. When you get in that situation, I will give you words. You know what happened to us? We like to rehearse. I rehearse a lot. You know, I got a couple of phobias. You know that. Nothing wrong with phobia. Because if you can overcome phobias, then it doesn't matter. That's what they're there for, to overcome. So I'm still overcoming phobias. And in an airplane, anything that is closed in and I'm out of control, I get phobia. Why? Because I'm not in control. And I don't know what's going to happen. So this is what I do. I go through this, you know, to this big thing, figuring out, you know, exercise in my mind. Well, if this happens, then I do this. I do this and I do this. You know why I do that? Because I want to have a plan. See, I want to have a plan when I get in the elevator that if it stops, already in my mind, I've decided this is what I'm going to do. But see, God doesn't call you to rehearse anything. So when I start rehearsing things with church or anything, my family, I stop and say, you know what I'm doing? What I'm trying to do is to provide myself an option in case that happened. You know, he didn't call you to rehearse. He says, I will give you. All you have to do is surrender your will to his will, and he will tell you what you need to do. Maybe you have to wait until you get there. Maybe you don't know yet. But when you get there, he will give you words. But see, we don't want to get there. I want to have a plan before I get there. That's me. But I have to fight with that. I have to fight with my mind. That's the thought of Satan. But figure it out. Figure it out. Reason it out. See? And then you have a plan. So you know what happened to those things? It's a disadvantage to me, but when I get there, nothing happened. So here I worry all this time. I was nervous. I was anxious. And nothing happens. And when I get there, I says, see, I knew it. Nothing happens. So why are we wasting my time rehearsing what I'm going to do when this happened and this happened, when the bombs, you know, come and explode? And don't worry about it. Because whatever you can come with, oh, it's not going to work. One time I was going to New York. I was driving away. We was going to visit a brother out there in the Bronx. I went to preach for him. And as I get close to New York, you had to go through a tunnel. And that tunnel, I forgot the name of the tunnel, goes under water, under the Hudson, and then it goes up. Oh, my God. No, I told you I had to fight phobias. Maybe you don't, but I do. So I said, oh, the closer I got to that, I see the sign, you know, whatever tunnel, Kennedy, whatever it was. And Satan started working. What happened if he falls? What happened if you drown in there? What happened if a car jam and something explode and that's the end of... See, I'm rehearsing. Now what I'm going to do? And I got so anxious and so nervous that I tell my wife. My wife don't even know this. I don't tell things sometimes to my wife. I don't want to worry her with my problem. You know, don't worry me with your demons. Just keep it to yourself. deal with those demons yourself. You can. So all those spirits, whatever it is. So I get there. And the closer I got to the tunnel, I said, I wasn't ready. So I pulled into a McDonald's and I told my wife, I need to eat something. I need to go to the bathroom. Bathroom. Making excuses because I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do, if I'm going to do it or not. Went to the bathroom. Then I said, oh, I got to get something to eat. Buy more time, see? I need to think. So finally, the Lord says, how many times have you flown to Puerto Rico? How many times you flown to Africa? Is anything happened? Nah. So what are you worrying for? See, you're rehearsing. You're getting yourself, you know, all bent out of shape for things that are not going to happen. Whatever you can figure out, it's not going to happen if you take God at his word. And if it happened, that's all right. God got you anyway. So finally, you know, I muster enough courage, like Joshua. I muster enough strength, and I said, let's go. Yeah, I went through it. And you know what happened? Nothing. I wasted my time thinking about. That's Satan. See? But I always come victorious because at the end of it, I said, forward. I don't care. I'm going forward. If it falls, it falls. If it don't fall, if it burns, I don't care. At this point, I have set out myself to go somewhere, and I'm going to go. Amen. And I'm going to trust God in that way. So, don't rehearse. Well, I got this situation with my sister. This is what I'm going to do when I get there. You're going to make it worse is what you're going to do. Because that's not come from God. That is you. Your mind fabricating things. And you don't have the power to bring that to fruition, what is in your mind. But God has power to bring his word to fruition. So all these things has to line up. See, motive, I told you, is a reason. You have to have a reason for doing something. And then you have to have an objective. Can you move it? Did I finish with that? Or deny. Let's see. Yes, just because I put them there so we can read it. Okay. Okay, no. Let me see. Yeah, that's fine. That's what I'm supposed to be, but I didn't read it right. Let me read it right quick. This is today. It says, you have to have, yeah, I think I read it. Yes, it's right. God that, why? Okay, this is what I wanted to get to. See, sometimes I get too ahead of myself. Let me start reading this slowly. This is today. Let me slow down. The same God, Jesus said in Matthew, you know, Mark 11, 20, if you say to this mountain, be moved, and don't doubt in your heart, believe and it shall be done. It will come to pass. You can have what you ask of. That's divine nature. That's what I was saying. But you have to have a motive and an objective to that that is connected to with it. It has to line up. Okay? And then all that has to line up with the word of God. I'm going to tell you what happened when that happened. When you know that is spoken in the word to do it, and then God has called you to do it, then it will happen. If you motive and objectives are right to God, that's why, listen here, that's why visions take place. Not before. Your motive, your reason, your intentions, your interests have to be right. And then the vision, faith will drop in your heart. Now, this is vision because Brother Branham saw vision. It don't have to be a vision to you. Maybe God give you a confirmation through the pulpit. You know, people preach. Maybe God give you a dream. Maybe God give you a visualizing image, you know, whatever. I don't know how God speaks to you, but you should know how God speaks to you and that he speaks to you. Because once you line up, you're waiting. What? You have faith and you're waiting for the confirmation that will drop in your heart. And then you can have it. And Brother Man says, that is what the visions. See, sometimes we think, let me have a vision, then I can't believe it'll work that way. Let me have a vision so I can line up my motive. No, we have to be in the right, you know, mindset, in the right attitude. And then whatever you have need will drop in your heart. You don't need to see it. Your mind don't understand it. But something in you says, that is mine. I can do that. That's for me. But see, that's him once he dropped that faith. Faith is the confirmation, you know, that's yours. So faith then takes place. Sometimes that's what happens. We come to church and we have faith. Say, I believe. But what is your reason? What is your motivation? What are your intentions? What is your interest? Everything has to line up. God knows your heart. I don't, but he knows what you're thinking. And what are you going to do? I don't. He do. So before God can accept your faith and drop something there, everything has to be according to the word of God. Three kinds of believers. Don't fuss about it. If you know that, you know that this is God, why would you fuss about it? If I know that this is God, you know, I don't have to argue about it. If somebody come and say, well, nothing, I don't have to argue because I am sure that this is God's will for my life. And I don't have to check it or run it through anybody. See? Because I already know. It says don't fuss about it. You don't have to prove anything to it. Jesus Christ went to the cross and he did not open one his mouth. You know why? Because he knew that that was the will of God and he was there to do it. And talking about it is not going to change it. And listening at everybody. You see, that's the problem. We're trying to help. We're trying. Sometimes we make things worse. So sometimes it's better for you to keep it in your heart and wait for the promise to his fulfillment. Because the more you talk about it, the more the devil listens and the more he brings people to discourage you. Don't fuss, he says. About when you are truly convinced, see, that's it. Just like anyone, any faith, anyway, faith comes by hearing. That's why we come to church. By hearing what? The word. Now, you're in the jam out there by yourself, quote the word. Forget about quoting your husband or your wife, unless they are lined up with the word of God. When you are there by yourself in the mountain and you're in trouble and there's no pastor, there's no minister, there's no brother, there's no sister, what do? Are you just going to lay there and die? No. You can speak to God. See, you have to have the same faith I have. Listen, my friend, this is not a special thing for the pulpit only. This is not a special thing for Joshua. That's a special for all of you. You have to have the same faith that is in this pulpit. You have to have it there. He says, you can stand here no matter what the doctor says. Don't fuss with the doctor. Don't fuss with anybody. He says, it is wrong with you. He says, what is wrong with you? Which the man gives you the diagnosis of the case and probably knows just what he's talking about as far as his instruments and knowledge will permit him to know. But he says there is nothing left but death. So what are you going to do? You're going to cry to God? Oh, dear Lord, help me. I don't know why I'm in this situation. Are you going to cry like Moses? That's what Moses was saying. I need help, Lord. After he saw all that he saw, now he's crying out. He says, but you pray, and praise is what Joshua did, speaking to God. Pray, and standing yonder in the future, standing where? Seeing the unseen in the future. You seeing yourself in the future. You don't see yourself sick and dying. You seeing something else. You see yourself alive and well and praising the Lord. See, faith looks to the unseen. He said, future can see well. He says, and standing yonder, the future you can see a well man or woman. See, when that faith drops in, your motives are right, your reasons are right, your objectives are right. Faith comes in, it drops in, and you can see yourself. Whatever, don't fuss with the doctor. He can do nothing else. That's all he can do with his instrument. But see, when the doctor stops, God will take over. But you have to be certain of God. This morning, what do you believe? He says, understanding yonder, the future, it will open up to you. You can almost touch it. See? Standing there, that's it. That's just it. You will walk right into that just as certain as anything. I don't think he's lying to me. You can walk right into it. Do you think that Enoch just happened walking one day through the tulips, having fun, and God told him, okay, it's time for you to go, let's translate you? No, sir. As he walked this journey is a journey of faith. It's a walk by faith. And he was walking, but he was not only walking. Walking means he was growing. His faith was growing. See, the more the days went by, the more he walked, the more God brings him up in his faith. And you should be in that same reason. Your journey. Your journey is here for you to have the character of God. Your journey is that your faith will increase until you can have the rapture. The rapture is not going to come. You're sitting down there and not even thinking about it. One day God is going to say, you're done. No, sir. You got to be in that frame of mind already. And Enoch grew, and then he matured. And when he got there, he almost could taste it. He says, one more step into my body. One more step. He could almost feel it. Even though we don't go by feelings. And he stepped on it. Now, where is your faith at? You still down there with the chickens? Or we soar in the sky? And everything that happens to you and me has a reason to be. God has a reason. God wants to bring you to that. Because you are going to be the one that's going to change your body. God wants to change your body more than you want to change it. But it's this, the power of life and death. It is the way you speak and the way you think. Your body will line up with that confession. God has a confession already. He's willing heaven. It's had to be done. But you need to speak your body to line up with that word. And the more you walk and the more you mature, one of these days, you walk out of here. But it is you. You. It's not the pastor. It's not the church. It's your faith. That's why we come to church. We want you to grow. The ministry is here to help you to grow. To the what? to the headstone that is Christ, and you walk and you walk and you walk and you mature and you walk and you go through experience and you go to circumstances, and that is all for you to grow. Grow your faith, grow to the point that you can almost say, I'm here. I guess I'm not there yet because I'm still here, but the day that happened, I'm gone. Listen, you can go through to death door. That is not a dead. That's just my buggy to take me there. Or you can be here alive when the rapture happens. It doesn't matter which way. But when you're ready. No, we like to say, you know, when God is ready, then. Well, if it's the will of God. What does that mean? When I was in this message, I started this message, I asked people about the Holy Ghost. And some people, they didn't have it, but they told me I'm waiting on to receiving. I said, what does that mean? Waiting on what? That was what happened in the book of Acts. But what is this? What? No, make any sense. You're waiting on to what? So what happened? What are you doing in the meantime when you don't have it? But you're going to go on, see? Because we put it all in God. We put it on the prophets and we just take off and don't worry no more about it. You know, it's not going to happen. Because he will give it to you when you get to that point that you are desperate enough to want it. But it's you and I that got to get to that point. It is your faith that got to get to that point. Lord, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost right now, I want it. Wait a minute. Can I demand? But Joshua, he said, you know, the man out there in the cornfield, brother man says, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, you find a bag of bones here. So, when we get to the point, God is ready. God is ready to give it to you more than you wanted, the brother said. When we walking, and we get to the point that we get so desperate that we say, Lord, I want it, and I want it now. But see, the Lord knows if that's where your heart is at. Don't worry about it. God knows if that is your heart talking. His desire. He put that desire in your heart. And when that desire talks back to God, like Joshua did, when he talked to God, God already promised the victory. He already told him. What he was saying is, you promise, now do it. Right. Oh, no, brother, I cannot be that bold. Huh. What are you doing here then? You know, we go to the throne of God with boldness. Amen. We're not begging. We're speaking with boldness. God, you promised me this. I want it. Amen. God, your word says this. And you know what Brevan says? God likes for you to remind him his word. Amen. So you're not out of your line up with the Bible. That's what they said. So don't feel bad. Well, I don't know if I can demand. Well, doing it the right way, it will. See, I get out of my notes. He says, you pray and standing yonder in the future, you can see a well man or woman standing there. That's it. That's just this. You will walk into it. You will walk into it. Your faith, you will walk into it. You're not waiting on nothing. You're waiting to walk into it. You believing. Your faith increasing. God promised that to me. You walk into it. So it's up to you. God already healed you. You know, 2,000 years ago, he died for you. He already saved you. You and I need to walk into it. God, you said it. Now you do it. And that settles the matter. See, God has spoken. You know it. It is so. Now, going back to Joshua. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. That's another nice thing to know. You have to be in a speaking condition with God. How can you expect something when you never talk to God? You know, so like our children. Mom, I want this, I want that. Yeah, but you never told me about that. What are you going to do? You're going to go to your friend's house? You never told me. You didn't even ask me. And that's what we are. We are not in speaking terms with families. And you know why? Young people, you are not in speaking terms with your parents because they're not going to do what you want. Or you decide they're going to do what is right for you. And they're going to tell you no, and you don't want to hear no. So you figure it all out. You know, mom and dad are there
to make sure and to teach you and to bring you up in the admonishment of the word of God. Listen to mom and dad. Oh, but you try to justify, but this is what this girl told me at school, and this is what the teacher said. You know, they cannot make that to pass. Only God can make his word to pass. And everything else that you can justify in your mind or my mind is death. See? We're leaning towards death. He says, I spoke unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, see, they could not go into grace as long as the Lord was alive. But the Lord has to die. That's why your first husband has to die before you can be translated. See? Before they went into the promised land, the law has to cease, and the law has ceased. We don't go by law, but by grace. So Moses has to die. Moses could not go in the promised land. You thought that because what he did over there, now God says, you are not going to see the promised land. That was in the plans already. You know, you need to realize when God says something, something goes, puts in motion. God put promises in motion. This is not something that he just figured out right there. God has spoken, and it has to happen. And when it speaks about you, about me, or about your situation, something starts moving. You don't see it. I don't see it. But something has to move because his word cannot come back in vain. So he set things in motion. All you have to do is just walk into it. See? He says, so the Lord has to die. See, in us too. We were in that. We were slaves of Satan, the law. See, they do this, we do that. But then when we go to God, it's the grace of God. Amen. We don't live in the law any longer. Amen. See? He said, Moses the servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan. Thou, remember that Joshua was the type of the what? The Holy Ghost. The law has finished, and grace start moving forward. You cannot have law and grace. You have one or the other. That's what I tell you this morning. You cannot justify yourself by the law. You need to believe by grace what he has given to you already. We are going to make it to pass with the law. It says, because the law, the only thing the law did for me was condemn me. You know that the law just told me that I was a sinner, that I was no good. But then grace comes in, see? So how you want me to go back to the law when the law condemned me? No, I want to say in the grace of God. So stop going back to justify yourself. You cannot justify yourself. God is the only one can justify you. So why even going back? I'm not going back. Move forward. It says, on all these people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that you saw, see, he already had a word from the Lord. You're going to introduce the children. You're going to divide the land. You are going to, he says, a place that your soul and your foot shall tread upon. Possession. Every time your foot, Brother Mark says, that was footstep is possession. So, listen, it's easy to possess. The problem is to sustain. Because the devil is not going to leave you stay there. Right. But you're going to have to fight for every step of the way. See? Every step. He says, give them, he says, unto which I give unto them. He says, every place that your soul, your foot, every time you take a promise, every time God does something for you, every time you experience God, you know, that's where you drive a stake. And Satan cannot take me back from there. I can say, no, sir. He is my stake. See? He says, every place that the soul on your foot will tread upon that, give unto you. And from the garden and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the... See, he already promised this to him. Yeah. And unto the great sea, toward going to the sun, shall you cause... There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. He says... All the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail. Amen. God cannot fail. Amen. God make your promise, God cannot lie. Amen. You can bet your life on it. He says,
I will not fail thee, nor one forsake thee. Man, Joshua knew who he believed and what he could do, because God promised and God gave them the victory, because God cannot fail. He started the work on me. He will finish it. I believe that. Do you believe that? I don't care what happened. Sometimes I fall, but I had to get up. Sometimes I made the wrong choices. Sometimes I'm in error. Sometimes I do things that I should not do. But that don't change. That do not change who I am. Now, if you say, well, I'm doing this thing because I know God is going to forgive me, that's the wrong motive. But when you fall, make wrong choices, just get up, because that's not you. You have to look at who are you in his eye, in the word. He said, I started the work and I will finish it. That's what we have to believe. Now, I will not fail thee and not forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. This is for you and me. That was then, for Joshua. Well, it's for us too. The Bible said, for he has said, I just took the second part of that verse, for he has said, I will never, now he changed it. Oh, I will not forsake thee, I will not fail thee, I will not leave thee. Not forsake thee. Listen, my friend, God gave you the Holy Ghost. So wherever you go, he goes. Wherever you are, that's where he's at. You know, you can talk to God anytime, any place, any circumstances. Why? He said, I will never leave you. Why? I will never forsake you, because I'm in you and with you. So how can you leave God behind unless we did it ourselves? Sometimes we do things that are not pleasing to God, and there's, you know, Holy Ghost take a little ride until we make things right. But you can never, never, you know, be separated from the love of God. Impossible, because he says, I will not never leave thee or forsake thee. So any situation you find yourself, he's there. He's the God that sees everything, knows everything. And he is in your heart. You know, I always said, wow, the economy of God. I always thought about it. You know, God came with a better plan. I know, we know that God cannot come with, once he says it's perfect, you cannot come. But I said to myself, in those days, you know, when I was a Baptist, he's perfect. He got a better plan. God wanted to govern, to control you. So how he done it? He said, well, you know, Jesus, like Jesus says, I spoke to this disciple. I tried to guide him. I tried to lead him. And look at, afraid. Little faith. But then God says, I have a better plan. I have a better way. Instead of you trying to teach all the disciples, what about if I go in them and I teach all of them? The Holy Ghost is given to you to teach you, to guide you, to lead you, and to tell you all things that Christ. See, God, he has a perfect plan. That's why Satan missed it. Jesus maybe died on the cross and then he resurrected. That wasn't the end. Because now we have thousands and millions of messiahs. Why? God is in your heart. And he got you, and he leave you, and he will never for whatever situation you find yourself, just reach out to God. Right. Not there. Don't put him out there. Right. It's right here. Right. You can talk to that God. It's right with you. So it says, let me read here one more. Because the problem is sometimes people are seeking seeking for miracles. They're seeking for the wrong things. I mean, there's nothing wrong with miracles. There's nothing wrong with having pour out of the Holy Ghost and we all having fun. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong. But this is what Brother Brown says. There is where minister, there is where they fail. Okay? He says, there is where the church fails. And I don't want you to fail. That's what I mean. I want us to move forward. He says, don't fail. Say, when this revival that we just had, this great campaign, this start, excuse me, that started across the country, when we had the enemy running. See, we come to church and we have many ministers came and we have a good revival and everybody's, you know, you know, filled with the Spirit of God, and God is moving. See, the great campaign that started across the country when we had the enemy running, we should keep him on the run. Because he's going to come back. He's waiting for you outside. But he says, keep him on the run. He says, but the thing of it is, we just go off just in tantrums and so forth, and big sprees of building and making more our group and do this and do that and there, you know, following after blue moons. After we had such a revival, now we want to go follow after blue moons, or we want to follow after this and after that. You see, that's what man wants. After coming to the right revival and seeing the hand of God moving in the place, then Satan starts working on there. What's next? What's next? And they're running all over the country, going to people, places, and churches because what's next? See, you just missed it. God is in you. You don't need to be going anywhere because God is there. See? God is not out there where you want to find him. God is already in you. He said, but then the thing is, go off just tantrum and so forth. But I don't agree with the pastor. Well, I don't care. I'm big sprees of building and making more our group and so forth. And there you come and separating ourselves from the world. See, that's what Satan wanted to begin with. They just got a revival. I need to separate that mind from that day, from that instant, from that happened to you. That's Satan. He says, I'm taking this, that, and then building up some more the organization and starting something else. That's the way it's always called. That's the way it was in the days of Luther, Wesley, Moody, Sinkey, or Sankey, whatever, Finney, Knox, Calvin, Brother Branham. Let me screw them over there. All the way down, see, Brother Branham. It has been the same way. They get their eyes off the revival and get it into, you know, themselves. See? It says, that's what we felt. We had a good service. The Spirit moved, healed me. He gave me what I have need of. He spoke to me. And then Satan don't want you to think too much about that. See? But Brother Man says, just keep him on the run. Satan, this is what happened, I believe it, that's settled, I ain't got no business with you, and you don't have no business with me. Now, Brother Brown says, now, isn't that just like today? He said, we see the message come forward, the message of the hour. So you think I was going to leave it at there? No. We see the church rising to a place, and the wings of the Holy Spirit until the power of God thrills every person in there. The glory of God fails around, and signs and wonders take place. Less than a week, Satan is permitted to come into the congregation. That's not fair. You got to be tested. You need to find out that what happened here was real. How do you know it's real if nobody challenged it? The reason you are challenged is because it's real. In fact, if the Satan is not after me, I'll be worried because there ain't no challenge. And some people go to church and now they don't have no challenge. They leave the same place they come. Why? Because God is saying, then Satan is permitted. God has to do that to come into the congregation. Why does he do it? God permits it. And then the church begins to murmur. See, he wants to know, are you going to complain? Or are you going to accept that that's God's work? See? Trying you, testing you to see which way you're going to go. He says, fall back. Maybe it wasn't so. Oh, man. That is where we fail. We fall. That's the failing of the church. Regardless of what takes place, it is God. Move forward. When you come to church and you have a victory, you're going to be challenged. Every time something good happens to you, Satan is there to challenge you. Listen, you know that already. So why give up? You know what that happened was real. Let me continue quickly. Now, Romans 15:4. Such things were written in the scripture long ago to teach us. And the scripture gives us hope and encouragement. as we wait patiently for God's promise to be fulfilled. That's why we come to church. So we can, you know, get encouraged and to give us hope that what he spoke, it will happen. That's our only thing that we want. We want to encourage you. We don't want to scold you. Sometimes it hurts. And I know Brother Doug hurts to have to your feelings, try to tell you the truth. But if he's not going to tell you the truth, who's going to tell you? Satan is not going to tell you the truth. So your feeling got hurt. But you will be a better person after that. But Satan says, no, I can't remember. I don't know. What happened here stays here. What God did for you, he's doing for you, you know, don't let Satan take it away from you. Because it says God will allow it to see what your mental attitude is. See? So God is testing you all the way. Not for God to know who you are. He already knows who you are. He already knows what he put in you. You need to know what God has put in you. That's why the test come. Now, Joshua. Oh, wow, that was funny. Okay. Romans 15:4 says, such things were written. Oh, I read that one. So God is interested in every aspect of your life. Okay? So you don't need to cry out. If you know that God is interested in all the aspects of your life, what do we cry out? When he has all under control. See, maybe you don't understand. This, the mind will not understand. And you don't have to, because it bypassed the mind, it bypassed the people, and it goes right into your heart. God is speaking to your heart, not your mind. He shows your heart. Satan shows it. He says, so he cares for you. And you don't need to cry out to God. He says, the disciple in the boat, they cry out to God. Moses cry out to God about everything when he have the word from the Lord already. You have a promise. You have a word of the Lord already. Instead of crying out, why don't you speak? It would be better to speak than to murmur and to complain. And to, oh, woe's me, Lord, I don't know why. Why don't you just speak what you have need of? It's not me. I cannot help you. I need what you need. I need also. I had to grow. But you are the one going to speak this body into a change. You have the power in your heart to speak this body. You have given the promise. It is up to us to voice it. Amen. Now Joshua 10:8 said, do not be afraid, he told Joshua. He says the same thing to us today. The Lord says to Joshua, for I have given you the victory over them. Now, tell me, has God have spoken to you and tell you that you already have the victory? It is done. Actually, you already made the rapture. Actually, he chose you before the foundation of the world. Before you did anything, he chose you. He called you. He got you. And he predestined you to make it all the way. So what's the problem? So if anything comes our way, speak. You got promises. Oh, but I got this sickness. Well, he is my healer. He will heal all my diseases. So what are we going to look at the situation or speak his word? Cry out and look at first, second, and third pool. Well, we can just speak what he said. What he says. Don't be afraid, he says. He said, Joshua, for I have given victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. No wonder he didn't have no problem speaking. He was given a word. He was given a promise. So all he did was we went along with his word. And the motive was right. He needed to finish the battle. He was right. You know, if I let them go, they're going to rest tonight. They're going to, you know, their weapons, they are going to clean them. They are going to file them nicely. And they're going to rest. They're going to eat. And the morning is going to get worse. He has the right motive. See? The right intention. The right reason. God told him. That's yours. Joshua 10:12.
We read it already, and he has victory over the Amorite. Then, coming to almost to an end here. Then wait. Because the Gentiles' way of faith is different than the Hebrew children's. Let me explain this. I don't have no problem if you want to be anointed with oil. That is a Jewish tradition. But if that's what you believe, and I will do it. But the way of the Gentile is you speak, and it just happens. I'm going to show it to you. There's nothing wrong. I'm not going to, you know, make a judgment call about, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's a better way. Now, call the elders of the church, you see, let us know your will. If that's where your faith is at, good, do that. Because that's where your faith is at. Listen, and Peter said, silver and gold have I not. This is after the Pentecost experience. He said, silver and I have none, but such as I have I give unto thee, the beggar that was in the... And then in the name of Jesus. Now, it was no prayer meeting. It was no anointing with oil. It was not consulting with the pastor. It was not doing anything. He says, you know, silver and gold I have none. And he spoke. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Jesus says, if you can believe and you can tell to the mountain to move, you. He didn't say me. He says, you. He didn't say Jesus, you. If you, and here we have an example, just coming out of Pentecost. Before, they're afraid. See, something has changed. Now that he has power to speak the word. By the Holy Ghost, in Luke 4:36, and they were amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what word is this? The authority of the power to command. See? To command the unclean spirits, and they come out. And that's what Peter did. He commanded. He didn't say, well, let me see what God think about. Let me see what God will. No. He already knew. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to prosper. As your soul prosper. Amen. You don't need to cry to God. I need a job. And God knows that. All you have to do, if there's not a job for you, create one. Amen. Speak one. If there's not one for you, Brother Brown, you can speak one. You know, Brother Brown says, you can speak a word and go and live on it. That's the power that is in you and me. Amen. See? Now, we don't need to speak a word into existence, because if we had the need to do that, we do it. But that's the power that is in you. You can speak and believe, and if it's according to his word, and you line up your interests and everything, it has to happen. Why cry? Speak, it says. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled. Oh, let me get back. 7:4-6, 4:36. Okay. A power commanded the unclean spirit, and they come out. Therefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come into thee, but said in a word, and my servant shall be healed. This is the Roman soldier. He has one of his subjects was sick, and he went to Jesus. And he says, and this is what he says. When Jesus heard these things, he says, I'm not worthy for you to come. He's a Gentile. I'm not worthy to come into my house. But if you can speak, this is the way of the Gentile. If you can speak, he says, it shall be done. He said, when Jesus heard this thing, he marveled in him and turned him about and said unto the people that follow, I said unto you, I have not found so great faith, not in Israel. See, I have not found so great, not just faith, not just a faith, a great. You know what the Bible says, you know, and we shall do greater things. Great is to speak and things happen and things move. That's greater than just multiplying the bread. I'm going to get on that tonight because that's a loose end that I left. I'm going to read you something right quick and I'm done. He said,
Why cry? Speak. God trains his men. They anoint them, give them experiences. See, we need to have experience with God. How can you know you can trust God when you have never experienced God at work? See, everything that happened to you, you experience God. He said, take them through the rigid training. See, took you to training, down through the sand of burning punishment. All the thing that happened to you is training, is training, is training. No complaint. God is training you. He said, not only does he do that to his prophet, but he does it to his children. So don't be surprised. Every son that comes to God must be chastised and tried. So if we do something wrong, sorry, we are accountable for what we do, and we're going to pay for it. But we are not tossed out. We just went down. We come up again. He says, but he does his children. See, everything that comes to God must be chastened and tried, tested by his word. See, when the pinch comes, the strong time, when it's faced death, are you able to stand there on the word of God, say, God says so, and that's it all. That is the final test. You know, but the man will show that vision of the big snake. What was it? Whatever, anyway. And that's the last challenge that we have, death. But when you face death, are you going to laugh on him and you tell him, listen to me, I cannot die no more than God can die. Listen to me, your sting has been removed. You ain't got no power and you are a liar and there's no way that I can die as much as God can die. Are we going to have that attitude when we get there? Because that's what he says to us. Brother says, it says, and God called such men and men, Moses, let's see, a great deal. Like us, every time he comes to a place, to something has to be done, Moses called out, oh Lord, what must I do? After he saw all that, he spoke things in exchange, and now he's crying, oh God, help me, what can I do? And sometimes you and I do the same thing. We come to a point and we cry out, Lord, what am I going to do in this situation? What am I going to do with this? Well, you're not the only one if you do that now. What am I must do in this place? Now, isn't that just like we do? I'm glad he said it. I mean, God has blessed him and anointed him above his sheep, his brethren, give him a message and a ministry that had not been on this earth since that day until that day. And yet, every time something takes place, Moses runs off to God with, Lord, what must I do? What must I do in this case? No wonder God got upset. He did. He got upset with Moses because Moses says, crying out. I said, stop crying out. Speak, you know, and he said, the Bible said that God got upset at him. Why? Because he is a command that saw so many. You and I have seen so much. We know so much. God sent a prophet. He has been vindicated. He raised the dead. Everything. You know all this stuff. And now we're going to come and say, God, what do you want me to do? You know what you need to do. Right. Says, God can, he says, Lord, what must I do? What must I do in this case? God kind of a tired of it. And don't you think God gets tired of me? Yeah. He says, God got tired of it. I believe. Said, why you cry to me? He says, speak to the people and go forward. Speak to your circumstances and go forward. Amen. Speak to your situation and speak to your mountain and move forward. God said it. That's all I know. And you don't need to know nothing else because God will give you the victory. He said, God, try it. Believe. See, why cry me? Speak to the people and go forward. My, if any time ever looks like they ought to retreat, was then. But God has no retreat. I ain't going back, God, because what? God will never retreat. And you know why? Because his word is powerful enough to create a word if I need to go and live on it. That's the kind. There's no place to retreat in God's. Go forward. The doctor said it's cancer. Go forward. Don't argue. Don't reason. Don't figure it out. Don't do like me. You know, start making scenarios. This is what's going to happen. What am I going to do here, here, and there, and everywhere? No. Go forward. Because God is your healer. He promised you that. Go forward. If he says, I got TB, go forward. If the devil says you can give this up, go forward. He says, if you, home says that you are going to be a fanatic, go forward. I lost my family. Not that I lost them. I know where they are. When I came into this message, my wife has, there were four girls and four boys. It's a big family. And before I came into this message, I was a Baptist preacher. And I would go with them sometimes, before I started preaching, of course. On Sunday, they do everything on Sunday. So I would go with them to the park. We have a few brewskis, you know. Okay, you know, at that time, that's what I was doing. You know what that means. A few beers. But I told him the only thing I drink is root beer. Anyway. So, you know, have a good time, have fun, and take the kids, entertain, you know, have food, and we ate, and everybody brings, and we had a good time. See? But when I came to this message, God brought me to this message, I had to stop Christmas. I had to stop the bunny and the eggs. Never figured that one out. I had to stop all these traditions of man that made the word of God of none effect. I had to protect my children. I had to separate my children and cover them and protect them from all those influences. Because I realize now what it's all do, the TV too, took it out. See? So what happened? My family, I usually, Lydia's family, because I live in Tucson for 40 some years now, they figure, well, this guy is not fun anymore. So I kept my children almost their youth and a little more after that, away from that, so we didn't have too much of a relationship. You know what I mean? On those things. And even more than that, we were kind of look like an outcast right now, you see? Because I had to make a decision. So when I made that decision, I kind of lost the family, lost the connection with them. I still see them, I still love them, they love me, but the connection I'm talking about. See? So my kids grew up, and their cousins, them almost about 32 of them, they hardly know them because I didn't allow them to have fellowship with the world. And we don't believe. So what happened was that after they grew up, now that they're 40-some years old, all those nephews and everything. But the thing is that one of her sister told my wife, look it. And he showed her a picture when we was in the pool and she was wearing the bathing suit and they were having fun and they were having a great time. And she said, look it, this is where you are, what you was. Look at what you are now. See, the devil wants you always to point you back to, this is what you used to be. Look at how much fun. The world, and the love of the world. Look at, but see, God is always pointing you forward. Because before the foundation of the world, he saw you. And that one, that picture that he took of you before the foundation is the picture he's looking at here. He's not looking at this. We made mistakes. But it's the same picture he's looking at. He says, go forward. Say, give up. Go forward. If you home says that you are going to be a fanatic, and that's what happened. I was a fanatic. I'm still a fanatic. Go forward. The church turned you out. Go forward. There's no retreating back. Go forward. Speak and go forward. And that's a word I want to tell you to leave you today. Where's your faith? Are you in that? You come to that point where whatever situation happened to you, you can speak and what? And go forward. You're going to be tested. Stand your ground. Like the blind man. I'm healed, yeah, a week later. But he stood his ground. It doesn't matter what the devil says. It doesn't matter what people say. He says, I'm healed. See?
Speak. Amen. Shall we stand? Speak what? His word.
You know that the word is your shield? You know that the word is your protection? That you cannot, if you get out of the way from that word, you just, you know, the devil can chase you around. The word is your protection. Stay. Protect yourself on that word and go forward. The Bible said that the message says, Brother Man says, she will have that, said the Lord, and she will know what to do with it. That's where we are right now. Listen, we should be speaking and moving forward. Speaking and growing until you speak yourself out of this world. Either way, rapture or whatever. But it's you going to do that. It's your faith. Remember, it's faith in this message to do that. When they get to that point, a change of body is what I want. Oh my God, I'm going to line up with the word of God until it changes. I'm doing everything that is required for me. So when that time comes, either way, death, door, or rapture, you got to be ready. This is not going to happen like that day. Okay, you know, you haven't done anything, but okay, you're ready? You're ready? No. You got to be ready. You got to be to the point that you are speaking the word, spoken word. Brother Brandon, that's what he says. This is the spoken word. And that's where we are right now. They stop crying and they start moving forward. That says the Lord. And move on. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity, Father, to come together and to hear the truth and to hear your word. I thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the hope. Thank you that it lies in your word. Thank you, Father. Father, like I said, this is the only place that I'd rather be, because this is where I get my nutrients. This is where I get my food. This is when I'm hungry. Father, the only thing that can satisfy my soul is your word. And I thank you, Father, that you have provided this place, Father, so we can come, so we can grow until the point that we can put the pastor out of work. And that's going to happen when nobody has come to be prayed for. Why? I'm not saying that that's what we want to do. But I'm saying you will take care of the situation. You will speak whatever you have need of. Now, of course, if you're in a situation that Joshua was, and you need help, the armies, they got together. You know, if one chase can 1,000, then you can find your brother. If it's too much for you, you don't have to go back. Go forward. Get your brother to agree with you. And we can chase 10,000. Because that's what the Bible says. If you can agree with someone about anything, it shall happen. Father, we thank you for everything you have done for us. Thank you for you caring for us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for never leave us and forsake us. Father, thank you. I don't even have enough word to thank you for this congregation, for the pastor, Father. Thank you, because this is where my soul gets fed, Father. And I have seen myself growing, growing, growing until one of these days I'm out of here. Because that's where we come, to build our faith. Not entertainment. It is not how pretty was the service or how many revivals we went through. It is to build ourselves up for your soon coming. And we are so near to that, Father, that we should be speaking and moving forward. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. Tonight, if God permits, I'd like to tie some loose ends from Wednesday to today. Some little things that, you know, the fall here and there. You don't understand. I wish you understand how hard it is for ministers to prepare for service. Last time I checked, a year ago, you know that I read 600 quotes just to prepare for something. 600. I don't need 600, but I needed to see the whole picture. Then I did a lot of research. Then I listened about 2 or 3 messages. Then I wrote, then I moved, then I described. Listen, it takes time to find the mind of God. It takes time to prepare. That's what Paul told him, prepare, you know. And we go through so much. The devil is fighting me with this weather and this. See, everything comes to you because he wants to attack the shepherd, so the sheep will be scattered. But I had to put up with all that, but I'm here. I move forward. I don't care what happened. I'm moving forward. I'm supposed to be here. I'm moving forward. Now, if I had to die in the pulpit, I don't care. I'm moving forward. And if I'm going to die, I prefer to die in the pulpit, because you believe in resurrection. You come and pray for me anyway. If I want to die, I want to die in front of someone that believes in that. And it's hard. And it's hard in my body. It's hard in everything. In my mind, it is hard. I'm not crying to you. I'm just saying that you are blessed with Brother Doug and the ministers here. You are more than blessed. I'm not saying that no other churches are doing. That's God out there doing whatever he needs to do for that congregation. You are more than blessed. And I've seen a lot of growing up since I've been here, about 10, 15 years now, since we come back. And I've seen a lot of growth. And we are not too far. We're almost there. Don't give up. Let's move forward. And whatever happens, don't talk about it. Just move forward. If you don't understand it, don't just move forward. Don't reason it. Don't figure it out. That's what Satan wants. That's what happened to Eve. Figure it out. Move forward. Listen, one of these days, we're going to be out of here. And I'm looking forward to that day. And I'm looking forward to see you in that day. And to have, again, you know, in the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, I'd like to have, you know, I hope they have menu and stuff like that. I like menu. Anyway, I don't know what we're going to have that day, but whatever it is. You know, when you get together, somebody married, the reception, you got all kind of goodies, right? I don't know what we're going to have. Anyway, so silly of me, eh? All right, so thank you. I appreciate your help. And tonight I will tie some loose ends and hopefully bring everything to a close, put everything in a little box, put a little wrapping around it, put a little bow, hand it to you, take it home so you can, you know, meditate on those things. God bless you.